Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Taylor Heckert. 60 Petersburg High School juniors and seniors got a taste of the real world last month through a simulated financial reality fair. Armed with fake jobs, spouses, and credit scores, the students navigated the expensive pitfalls of living as an adult. Canvas K reports. Petersburg senior Ethan Burdignoli is trying to find a place to live.
Ethan, what's your credit score right now?
Now it's 640.
Oh,
it just keeps going down.
He's not having much luck. His credit score is too low to buy a house.
Sir, you're going to have to rent.
Okay, that's the cheapest rent I can do. I'm
broke.
Ethan's a mechanic. He's got a wife and two kids under 6 months old. They're making about $5,000 a month. About 20 minutes earlier, he had one less kid and a lot more optimism.
Ethan, how are you feeling about your budgeting so far?
Decent at the moment, but I haven't gone to other places yet, so I feel like it's going to hike up really quick.
That's the whole point of the Get Real Finance Fair, which aims to give teenagers a taste of the financial decisions they'll have to make after graduation.
It's all about the game of life. It's how they're budgeting, you know.
Anna Sherman is the financial education director for Tongass Federal Credit Union, which is sponsoring the event.
Trying to learn about what are their wants and their needs, how to budget when they leave school, and know what's important.
Similar fairs are hosted by credit unions across the state. Sherman says students get to pick from over 100 jobs, then use a worksheet to track their spending. They move from station to station, simulating the kinds of costs they'll experience after high school. But Sherman says the events volunteers don't make it easy.
The volunteers go and they try to upsell. So they might be buying a cheap car and they try to give them a minivan or the most expensive car out there.
There are tables for healthcare, cars, houses, and they can even get a second job if life gets too expensive. Some things have an element of chance. Students start out with a 700 credit score, which is considered pretty good, and roll to see how it changes over the course of the game. There's also the matter of children.
Oh, I don't know if you heard that. There's a bell that rings, and it means that someone just had a baby.
Random cards at the healthcare table add more babies and more costs to growing families. Dustin Crump is usually a high school Spanish teacher, but today he's selling everything related to family life. That includes groceries, baby supplies, childcare, pets, and charitable donations.
I think childcare is a big shock to them. They're saying $800 per month per child is like a big, big shock for sure. And then also, it's really funny listening to them talking about I need two dogs, I have to have two dogs.
While the teens have been facing sticker shock, Crump says what he's selling is a pretty good deal. The healthiest meal plan he sells is just over $1,000 a month for a family of four.
And I'm telling him, I'm like, guys, this is a good deal, like, if you guys aren't living in Petersburg.
Sarah Holmgren is one of Petersburg's local realtors, and today she's running the housing booth. She's got everything from old homes to new homes to condos and rentals.
It's pretty fun because they're realizing all the other extra expenses like taxes and insurance that they don't even really know about that they've got to pay.
As the event wraps up, the students meet with financial advisors to talk about the choices they made.
You already have one, so is that realistic then? Like if you're spending all your time at work?
Senior Logan Tao says he learned some big lessons about real life costs. He played an accountant and had a wife and two kids under three.
At first I was $2,200 in debt. After like everything, and then I realized I had to go make some changes, so we had to go back and rethink our process.
That meant going back and downgrading his house and furniture. There were also some things he wasn't willing to sacrifice, like good health insurance. He says the simulation gave him lessons he'll take with him later in life. In Petersburg, I'm Taylor Heckert. Budget cuts and enrollment declines hit the Ketchikan School District this year, leading them to close two elementary schools and lay off dozens of staff members. As the 2025-26 school year comes to a close, KRBD's Sydney Dauphiné visited both beloved buildings on their last day.
At Point Higgins Elementary, stacks of cardboard boxes filled with school supplies are piled in every corner, and classroom furniture lines the hallways. Hundreds of free books are on shelves and tables in the front entrance.
Today is a chaos day. Yeah. A lot of cleaning. You'll see kids carrying the last bits of things out of classrooms. Like, really, they're manual labor. Even the little ones will be carrying stuff.
That's Point Higgins principal, Todd Hinke. Hinke's been with the district for 12 years. Next year, he's going to be principal of an elementary school down south. He's not excited to leave Ketchikan, but when the district's financial situation seemed to come to a head earlier this spring, he knew his future was uncertain. The Ketchikan School Board voted to close both Fawn Mountain and Point Higgins Elementary Schools in April. It's a decision that's been looming for years. The board restructured the district's elementary schools last year to save money. Ultimately, it wasn't enough. The district was forced to face over $5 million of debt on top of a $3 million shortfall this year. In addition to the school closures, they had to lay off over 70 staff members across the district. There's now one elementary school, one middle school, and one high school, all located in town and being called centralized learning hubs. Hinke's been at Point Higgins for 2 years. He loves the sense of community at the school. He says even after some staff members were told they weren't being retained, they still stuck together to help the rest of the staff wrap things up and move them out. That kind of compassion is what he hopes to see at his new school.
But it's nice for people to just help people because they care, not because they have to. And I've seen that so many times.
There's still the lively, celebratory energy that's always in the air on the last day of school. As kids step off the school buses and walk toward the doors of the historic building for the last time, staff members and volunteers smile and greet them with open arms. But most of them are also holding back tears, including Misty Hancock, a special education teacher.
I know it's a cliche to say that we're a family, but we're a family. And it's really hard to say goodbye.
She's been at Point Higgins for 4 years, and before that, she was at Fawn Mountain. Standing in front of the school, she wipes her eyes and hugs her daughter.
These kids are everything. And last year we got, you know, split, and now we're split even more, and it's just hard.
Inside, the morning starts off pretty normal. Principal Hanke tells a joke over the intercom that seems to go over the heads of the second graders in Ms. Schlotterman's class. Then, for the last time, he leads the school in the Orca Pledge.
Point Higgins Orca, I pledge to be safe, respectful, and a learner in my classroom, in my school, and in my community.
Many students are excited for summer break. Many of them will be going to Houtling next year and look forward to being reunited with friends and siblings. Second grader Scarlett Adams has mixed feelings.
Are you excited?
I'm a little bit, but not too much.
Okay, why not too much?
Because I love this school, and I don't want to leave it.
She loves everything about Point Higgins, she said, like science projects and her teacher, Miss Holly. Out of all the good memories she's had at the school, it's too difficult to narrow it down to one favorite.
That's a hard one. I think my favorite day was all the days.
20 miles south, students are having their last recess at Fawn Mountain Elementary.
Everyone's last day of school in Fawn Mountain, right here, right now.
It's a big playground overlooking the ocean. Third grader Ariana Simpson, who's been at Fawn Mountain for 4 years, plays with her friends.
It's just like I know this place in the back of my hand.
She loves the friends she's made. She said out of all of her time at Fawn Mountain, her favorite day was the first day of kindergarten because of one specific memory.
I remember being this new student and I had this one friend. She's still in my classroom. She's been there for a while in my classroom. She said, "Raise your hand if you want to meet a friend." The whole class raised their hands. Especially me.
Many of the students say that the best part of Fawn Mountain is the people. Here's second grader Oceana Taggart.
I love how the people are kind here, helpful, courageous, kind, and always are willing to do the challenge.
For the teachers at Fawn Mountain, it's crunch time. Some of them have been collecting classroom supplies for years, and they now have just days to finish packing it all up. Janae Merrill has been at Fawn Mountain for 2 decades. She'll be teaching second grade at Houtling next year, and she's looking forward to meeting other staff members she hasn't worked with before.
And change always isn't a bad thing, so it'll be different, but it'll be okay.
She's going to miss going to the beach for beach days and having access to the Fawn Mountain field. But she's going to miss the people the most.
The staff has always been really great, even though we've had some good transition throughout the years. Like, it always just feels like family, no matter who's here, and which has really been an important thing. We've always kind of called it the family school.
The family school. That's what third grade teacher Angie Taggart calls it, too.
This school, the staff, and just everybody that comes to it, the parents, families, the kids are just so genuine, wonderful, amazing. Just, it's a big family, so it's really hard to say goodbye.
She will also be teaching at Houtling next year, but some of her colleagues were laid off, are retiring, and others are moving away. But she believes they had a lasting impact on the students.
I hope they take away the kindness that was shown to them, the support that they had here with just our paras and teachers and just our, like I said, we're just a big family, and I just think that's going to go with them and they're going to remember Fawn Mountain for that.
Teachers had to be moved out of their classrooms for good by the end of the day Monday. The district's asking the community for help moving out of both buildings in the next few weeks. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Sydney Dauphiné.
The Division of Elections issued the state's final determination yesterday that Dan Sullivan of Petersburg can't be on the ballot to challenge Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan. In a letter to the retired teacher, Division Director Carol Beecher said the declaration he filed to launch his challenge was not, quote, an actual good faith candidacy for the office of United States Senator, end quote. Rather, she wrote, it was filed with a purpose to confuse or mislead voters. She cited many of the reasons listed in complaints lodged by the state Republican Party and the National Republican Senatorial Committee. The Petersburg man only recently changed his voter registration to Republican. He'd been undeclared and made campaign contributions to Democrats in the past. The head of the Alaska chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, Mara Kimmel, says the group hasn't spoken to Petersburg Dan Sullivan, but is closely monitoring the case and has concerns. Kimmel says election integrity is critical to democracy.
Ballots need to be clear. They need to ensure fairness and neutrality. Yes, those are critical elements to be able to ensure that voters have good choices in front of them and are able to make the choices that they believe that they're making.
But Kimmel says citizens who meet the eligibility requirements have a constitutional right to run. Both Sullivans asked to be identified on the ballot as Dan Sullivan and as Republicans. Beecher's letter says Petersburg Sullivan was never registered to vote under that name, but as Daniel J. Sullivan Jr. The incumbent senator has appeared on the ballot as Dan Sullivan each time he's run, but he hasn't gone by that name in all settings. He's registered to vote as Daniel Scott Sullivan. The would-be challenger has 30 days to file an appeal in state court. But Beecher warned that he actually has less time than that because ballots are printed June 28th. Sullivan of Petersburg said by text yesterday that he's considering his options. The senator's campaign celebrated the state's decision. For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.